Shall we turn, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and we read, please, at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now over, please, to chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, reading at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, the Gospel of John, please, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now the last reading in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and reading at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now God will bless what we have been hearing, these portions of His Word that we have read together tonight. What's upon my mind is to notice with you a little expression that brings before us the idea of a period of time. That little word, while, might not seem very significant, but in the portions that we have read, I believe that it is significant. In Matthew chapter 13, really what we have there is a time of satanic delusion, because it says, while men slept, the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. A time of satanic delusion. That's the day in which we're living. In Matthew chapter 25, it said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And I thought of this as a time of spiritual preparation. While the bridegroom tarries, God is giving men and women, young and old, an opportunity of preparing for eternity. In John chapter 5, it was a time of missed blessing. This man said, while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And I wonder, is it possible that while you're waiting to get God's salvation, because I'm sure you hope to be saved, you expect to get God's salvation sometime, but while you're coming, others are going to get in, the day of grace will come to an end, and you'll be left outside for judgment. I like to think of Romans chapter 5, because in Romans chapter 5, it's really a time of helpless sinnership, a time when those who feel their weakness, their helplessness, their inability to save themselves, discover that they're the very ones that Christ died for. When we were yet, while we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He said that scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's really a time of helpless sinnership. And when we get to that place where we discover we're absolutely helpless, we cannot save ourselves, and we're willing to look away to the one who died on Calvary, thank God we can find salvation there. Every one of us that ever got saved, we look back to a moment in our experience when we found the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and we discovered that there was absolutely nothing that we could do, that the work was all finished, and all we had to do was come in all our helplessness and need and receive Christ as our personal Savior. But I want to think for a moment here of this time of satanic delusion. That's the day in which we're living. It says, now the Lord Jesus said in this parable, while man slept, the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. I believe that's what's going on today. Satan is very, very busy deceiving the minds of men and women, sowing tares among the wheat, trying to get people to think of other things, or maybe another way of getting to heaven, trying to get people satisfied with the way they're going on, and not allowing them to stop and consider the most important matter in all the universe of God. Friend, after all, there is nothing more important than your soul and where you're going to be forever. Absolutely nothing more important than your soul, because you have a soul that is going to exist eternally in heaven above or hell beneath. And friend, your destiny depends on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I can't promise you salvation tomorrow. The devil, one of his deceptions, is to say, well, you can get saved tomorrow. Put it off to another time. Don't get too excited about it right now. Like one young man that we've told about many times, he came to gospel meetings that my uncle was having in the little community town of Grand Bend in Ontario. He and another preacher, and as they preached the gospel, this young man was quite concerned about his soul. But there came a time when he made up his mind, I'm not going to get it just now. I'll get saved some other time. And he stopped coming to the meetings. And the men were walking down the roadway, that dusty road, to go visiting. They passed a field, and a young man, that same young man, was out plowing in the field. And when he saw the preachers coming past, along the roadway, he stopped his horse, and he cupped his hands, and he said, give me just a little longer, for the world looks now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. And he mocked those preachers as they walked along the roadway. Give me just a little longer. When I feel that I'm dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. That was in the middle of the week. On the Friday, he was working on a threshing machine, one of the old type in the barn. And as they fed the sheaves down to that machine, he was the man that was standing up there on the rack, and he was feeding the sheaves into the chute that went down into the knives that cut up that wheat and separated the chaff from the wheat. And for a moment, someone called his attention up in the mall. And they were talking back and forth for a few moments, and he wasn't paying attention. And his foot slipped, and he fell down into the chute, and he slipped down into those knives, and those big knives began to cut his body apart. One of the men got down quickly and shut down the machine as quick as they could. And they tried to extricate that young man. And then they got him away as quickly as possible to the hospital. But before they got to the hospital, the young man was gone into eternity. Give me just a little longer, for the world looks now so bright. I want to tell you, friends, Satan will deceive you until you're in hell. He wants, my friend, to delude you, and that's what he's doing today. There are three kinds of delusion that we read about in the Word of God. There's self-delusion, because we have hearts that would deceive us. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the heart would deceive us into thinking that we're not so bad after all, and that we can get salvation whenever we want to get it. Friend, those are deceits that come from this sinful heart of ours. And then there's satanic delusion. And Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the gospel should shine in. And friend, he does not want you to get saved, and he will do everything in his power to keep you from God's salvation, to keep you sound asleep in your sins, as though there was nothing to get excited about or nothing to worry about. And then there's a delusion that's going to come after the Lord comes. And that's the delusion that God is going to send. And friend, if you miss God's salvation, and the Lord comes and the saints are gone, there'll never be another chance for you to get saved. And you know what it says? It says, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe the lie of the Antichrist. And then if you read Revelation 19, it says, and they shall be damned. I want to tell you, friend, it's a solemn thing to allow Satan to delude you now. God wants to open your eyes and get you to see, friend, that the only thing is the salvation of your soul. And we've been hearing already tonight that it's a wonderful thing to be saved, friend. The true happiness that a person can find today is found in the person alone of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan deceived six people today in British Columbia into thinking that they were going to be happy. You know how he did it? He gave them $15 million. and they're way off to get it. $15 million, divided among the six of them. My, I tell you, I suppose they're walking on air, as they say. I want to tell you, friend, what is $15 million compared to your soul that is going to be in hell for all eternity? Friend, far better to forget about all these things that Satan would put in your way and make up your mind, as we've been reminded tonight, that God's salvation is the only thing. Ye shall seek for me, and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, we were hearing. And friend, when you're ready to get down to business, there's a Savior and He's willing to save you, but I tell you, Satan is busy trying to deceive you today. That's why there's so many cults around us. Satan is getting the minds of people all taken up with so many other avenues. He gets church people taken up with their bingo games and their dart games and their card parties and their soup suppers and all the rest of the things. And they think because they're putting something into the church, so-called, that why this is doing something for God. My friend, God isn't interested in all the affairs that are going on that people think are doing Him a favor. Friend, what God wants tonight is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, that will bow their stubborn will and acknowledge, O God, I am guilty, I deserve judgment for my sin, and I would like to be saved. And every one of us that ever got God's salvation came to that very place, where we were ready to admit, O God, I'm guilty, I'm helpless, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell for my sins. And then we looked away to Calvary. Wonder, is there one here tonight, and you'll look away to the cross, to the Lord Jesus Christ? We were reminded from Matthew chapter 25 of a time of spiritual preparation. We read there, while the bridegroom tarried. You know, I don't believe sometimes we pray, I think we make a mistake. We pray that God will extend the day of grace, or that He has extended the day of grace. God isn't going to extend the day of grace. God has set the day. God has set the time. We don't know the time, but God knows the time. And friend, we don't know but what tonight is God's time. 318 times in the New Testament the coming of the Lord is referred to, and friend, Jesus is coming again. And just as sure as we're here, in this little building here, on Victoria Drive, friend, Jesus is coming. And He's coming at any moment. While the bridegroom tarried, what was happening? They all slumbered and slept. But friend, that's what's happening. Satan is keeping you asleep, lulling you to a sleep, like that accomplished thief that went in through the window one day. Don't get away with things so easy today with all the alarm systems, but he managed to get the window open and he went into the room and he was going to start pilfering in that house. And of course he disturbed the baby. The baby began to cry. Well, some men would have jumped and gone as quick as they could, but this man just went over and he rocked the cradle. And then he went on with his devilish work. I want to tell you, friend, Satan is rocking your cradle tonight. He's trying to keep you asleep on the road that's leading you downward to hell and the lake of fire. And he's going to succeed unless you make an effort, unless you make up your mind, I am going to get this matter settled. The bridegroom delayed is coming. while the bridegroom tarried. And friend, God isn't extending the time, but I tell you, the reason he tarries, the reason we're waiting, is because you need to get in before it's too late. I want to tell you one of the truths that shook me to the very core before I got saved was the truth that Jesus is coming. And friend, it is true. I know there are those and they say, well, up to the present time, it's been preached for years and years and years, and he hasn't come. What makes you think he's going to come now? And they're going to say, like they do in Peter, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue the same. My friend, that might appear like that, but I want to tell you, the truth of it is, he is coming, and there's not a prophecy to be fulfilled before the Lord returns. There's not a thing to happen that we know of. He could come tonight before this meeting comes to a close. Jesus could come. What about it? Are you ready? Are you ready? I sometimes tell about one dear girl. She's not a girl anymore. Some would know her if I mentioned her name. She's not from here. She's from Ontario, but I think some would likely know. But anyhow, dear Anne is a little girl. I think she was about 9 or 10 years of age. She had been to a gospel meeting like this, and the coming of the Lord had been impressed upon the minds of young and old, as we would seek to do tonight. And when she went home, and she was making her way to bed, her mother said, Anne, I'd like to speak to you for a moment. And Anne wasn't saying very much because she was troubled about her soul as it was. But mother said, Anne, we heard about the coming of the Lord tonight. Yes, mother. She said, Anne, I'm going to write down on a piece of paper the name of your uncle and his address, and he doesn't live very far, just a couple of streets from where we are. And if the Lord comes, your father is saved, and I'm saved, and your brother is saved, and your older sister is saved, and you're not saved. If the Lord comes, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but you make your way over to that uncle's house. And she said, he's a good man, but he's not a Christian, and he'll look after you if the Lord happens to come. And then in case he's not home, she said, here's the address of another uncle. He's not such a good living man and all that, as far as the world goes, but he'll likely take you in. And she wrote down his address, and I think she wrote down another one. And she said, Anne, you take this piece of paper and keep it, because if the Lord happens to come, you'll need some place to go. And of course, little Anne went upstairs to bed, but she couldn't sleep. It was only a few minutes, and Anne was back downstairs again. She said, Mother, she said, I would like to be saved. How can I get saved? She said, I don't want to be left behind when the Lord comes. And I'm sure there are others that would echo what I'm going to say, that there are times when, as a lad, I went down the hallway in my parents' home because everything was so quiet and still, and I listened around the corner of the door for my parents' breathing, because I thought, if Jesus has come, I'm left. And it struck terror to my soul, and I longed to be saved. And I know a young woman, at 15 years of age, she had open heart surgery, and that was many years ago, and the doctors told the parents that there wasn't much of a chance, 50-50 chance, they said, of her pulling through. But just a little while before, she had found Christ as her Savior. And this girl was not very far from here, but it's a few years ago. and 15 years of age. The doctor said, "You want to tell your daughter the seriousness of it all?" And the parents went in and told her. The doctor said, "You can come and watch the operation behind the glass there if you want." And the father came in and told his daughter, he said, "Doctor says there's only a 50-50 chance. Do you want to go ahead with the operation?" She said, "Yes, Father." She said, "Father," she said, I trusted Christ as my Savior." She said, "If anything happens to me, I'm going home. I'm going to heaven." But she said, "Father, would you promise me if anything happens to me, you'll meet me in heaven?" Father couldn't very well deny a daughter a request like that. But God in His goodness brought her through. And 2 or 3 years later, those parents who wouldn't attend gospel meetings, that girl was going to gospel meetings. And the preacher had preached as we're trying to do tonight on the coming of the Lord. She went home and she began thinking about the Lord coming for His people. As she was sitting on the Chesterfield there, on the couch in the house, and the tears were running down her cheek, and her father, he said, "Joan, what's the trouble?" She said, "Father," she said, "they were preaching about the Lord coming." She said, "If the Lord comes, I'll be gone, and you'll be left, and Mother will be left." And she broke down again and wept. And the father began to weep. He said, "When's the next meeting?" She said, "Tomorrow night." He didn't say any more, but tomorrow night he and his wife were both under the sound of the gospel. I think it was within 2 weeks they came almost every night, and within 2 weeks, both mother and father had found Christ as their Savior. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, these things are real. This matter is serious, and you can't afford to miss the blessing of salvation. We read about a man, we haven't time to say much about him, we'll talk about him maybe another night, but a man who said, "While I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And friend, is it possible that others are going to get saved? This isn't the only place where the gospel is being preached. Across the acres of earth tonight, the gospel is going forth in many parts of this land, and the land to the south, and in other parts of the world. They're spreading the gospel of Christ, and God is gathering in the lost ones for whom the Savior died. Friend, are you going to miss it? "While I am coming." Oh, you say, I believe what you're saying is true, preacher, and I intend to be saved. But not right now. Dear young woman stayed behind in gospel meetings we had. She was troubled. And she had made up her mind, as I hope you have. She said, "I'm going to get this settled tonight if I possibly can." She was a stranger to the gospel. She'd only heard the message 3 or 4 times. Another younger woman brought her out. I think she was about 18 years of age. Very transparent little girl. She was a very nice person. Dear Kathy Conradi. She stayed behind and we talked to her about her soul. Mr. Goff and I were together in Iowa. And I'll never forget that girl as she sat there across from us. And after we had read John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And she said, "Would you read that verse again?" Well, I said, "You can read it." And I gave her the Bible, and she read it. And while she was reading that verse, great big tears formed in her eyes and began to run down her cheek. She said, "Is it as simple as that?" I said, "As simple as what?" She said that all I have to do is trust that Jesus died for me on the cross. I said, "That's what it says. He that believeth hath everlasting life. She said, I believe that Jesus died for me. Well, I said, read the verse again. She read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. She said, I have everlasting life. I said, how do you know? She said, God says it right here. And I believe that dear girl got saved. Oh, the simplicity of salvation when you're ready to come. I got back to Newfoundland. And just about 1 year and 1 day from that time that Kathy Conradi trusted Christ, a voice came on the phone and said, do you remember Kathy Conradi? I said, I remember her very, very well. I remember the night she got saved. She was driving her little Volkswagen and another three of them in the front seat. How they did that, I don't know, in a Volkswagen, but anyhow they did. And somehow the car swerved and it went into an oncoming truck. And Kathy Conradi has gone to be with Christ. She's in eternity. Well, I said, thank God she got it settled. My friend, are you going to be one of those that settle it? Are you going to miss it? While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Oh, friend, he wants to save you tonight. This is the time. Think of this period, this time of helpless sinnership. Well, we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Or when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? I discovered I was the ungodly one. Who did Christ die for? Oh, it dawned on my dark soul that Jesus died for me, and friend, I entered into the joy of salvation and sins forgiven. I wonder, is there one here in our gospel meeting this Monday night, this 25th day of October, will settle the matter of your soul's salvation for eternity. Remember, it could be tonight or never. Satan will cheat you out of it one day too long. You'll wish a thousand times you had got the matter settled. God help you to settle it tonight and trust Christ before it's eternally too late for his name's sake. So we pray. Our Father, we bow in thy presence with thanksgiving that we are in this day of grace and that the gospel is still proclaimed in all its fullness and simplicity. We thank thee, Father, that the wayfaring man, though the fool, need not err therein. We bless thee, Father, for the one who came from heaven's glory, deigned to stoop into this world with all its sin and shame, and made his lonely way to Calvary to procure for us eternal redemption through his death upon the tree. Father, we'll never be able to fathom what he passed through in order that we might have this salvation so full, so free, and so eternal. But, O God, we pray that there might be those in our company tonight who will understand the urgency of getting this matter of their soul salvation settled. Some young man or young woman, some older person, Father, here in our company, O God, grant that tonight the Spirit of God may reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to some soul. We commend us to thee. Take us to our homes in safety and accept our thanksgiving for the Lord Jesus Christ in his worthy name. Amen. Now we'll sing a verse in closing of number 129. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. For the call of his Spirit is lost and you hurry along with a pleasure mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? We'll sing the first verse and the last verse these two verses only, and the chorus of 129, the meeting is over.